Spirit Radio Podcasts.
I'm joined now on the line by Therese Davey for this week's Home and Lifestyle Tips, where, among other things, she will be telling us how to cook the perfect steak, how we can get a winter ready as well, and something that we really need to think about if we've got a sick relative in our life as well. Therese, good morning to you, and how was the weekend?
The weekend was very busy, so it was Wednesday.
As it always is for you, my friend.
But I'm in Sligo, and the one thing that really was that has stayed with me since the weekend was the Armistice Remembrance Parade yesterday. 5,000 people from Sligo went to fight in the First World War, and 605 died. And a call went out for people to come and remember them. So 605, and there was more than 605 there, people walked from the centre of the town up to the memorial on Pearse Road in various costumes and not in costumes, men and women. And it was a very dignified thing, and letters were read from the front from Sligo people. And that's what it was. The prayer service was the day before, as always. But this was a lovely, gentle reminder to the people of Sligo of the people who had died. And it was very moving, Wendy. It was lovely to be there.
And just the amount of people that actually got involved and just really tried to kind of recreate that and just remember those who are fallen and that we don't, I suppose, maybe recognise them enough.
No, we don't. And we have a period in our history. I know my own mum bought her poppy from Colonel Wagstaff every year, but she never wore it. And I wore my poppy when I went to England, when I understood what the British Legion was and what they were fundraising for and who they were fundraising for. I wasn't supporting an army. I was remembering people who even at that time, there were still people alive when I went in the 80s from the Second World War, and my freedom to vote and various other freedoms came from those people. And so I was just remembering those who may need help and difficulty that the British Legion support. And that's why I wear my poppy. But there was a lovely day yesterday, and congratulations to everyone who organised it and got on with it. But when I came home, I had to end up bringing my dad into hospital, and that's why I'm still in Sligo. I suppose my first tip is, and while pregnant women have their bag packed and ready, if you have an elderly relative or someone who's sick, and like me, you come home, it might be useful to have a bag packed and ready to go with the essential phone numbers in the bag, the spare phone charger, the disposable toothbrush, and all those bubbles from the hotel I tell you bring home, you'll find a use for them. I found a use for them yesterday evening. So it might be just an idea to have that emergency bag.
Have it ready, and then that's one less worry that you have. And even the thought of if you weren't around for whatever reason, neighbour or friend would be, you know, everything is there that person needs, and that's kind of one less thing that you have to worry about, and you can just take them to the hospital and then be with them and not have to be kind of worried about getting home, getting the stuff, getting the bits and pieces. A very good idea, Therese.
Absolutely, and one change of clothes, one set of pajamas, and for the neighbour, and maybe something you could suggest for your elderly neighbour. It's in a very kind and gentle way to have. And on the subject of getting ready, there was a wonderful article, and there was loads of promotion, I know, last week, and he spoke about it. The Winter Ready website, and that's my website of the week, www.winterready.ie. And this isn't being paranoid. These are sensible things, and it's preparing a home checklist. Having this, is your first aid kit up to date? Is your neighbours, have they a first aid kit? Is there fuel in? Have you got the torcher? Have you got the battery? Do you know the insulation things are bigger things? But do you know where your emergency contact numbers are and the air code? I was calling the ambulance yesterday, and I couldn't find the little air code notice on the notice board here in the kitchen. So just maybe another little thing to do for getting winter ready and getting your home ready, and go and visit that website. And it also explains, it sometimes confuses people, the weather alerts, you know, the yellow alert, the orange alert, and the red alert.
Yeah.
And people don't know what they mean sometimes.
Red means bad.
Red is bad. Well done. Orange means be prepared, and yellow means be weather. Keep an eye out and listen to the weather forecast, because things may change. But in getting out in the cold, I found something in the papers also during the week for babies. Cleva Mama's luxurious fleece lined car seat.
Oh, cosy.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. And it can fit into car seats with 3-point and 5-point harnesses. And there's a zip on the opening, there's a chest opening to allow access. There's a pull tie hood, and it's water resistant. And it keeps your little ones as cute and as cosy and as warm as needs to be. And it's there in Mother Care and Smith's toys and independent retailers, clevamama.com, $29.99. Could be a gorgeous gift to give someone so good. An absolute lovely gift to pass on to a new family.
And, you know, as far as I know, Cleva Mama is actually an Irish company, so it's great to be able to support an Irish business as well.
Absolutely. And another thing for those winter days is a bit of cooking. And sometimes a nice steak is the thing to do and to go there. And
well, just I was laughing when you were saying you were going to talk about cooking the perfect steak, because Therese, your heart will bleed for us now, but usually the grandparents on either side, my mum and dad or Carl's mum and dad, will feed us of a Sunday. Carl's parents were away, my parents weren't around. Who was going to feed us? So I said, look, why don't we go to the butcher, the local butcher, and get two really nice pieces of fancy steak. But then my husband felt the pressure of actually cooking them properly. So this chat would have been great yesterday.
Sorry, I'm a day late.
I'll take notes now for the next time.
The Golden Rules of Cooking the Perfect Steak and Why You're Breaking Them was the name of the article in the Irish Independent on Saturday. And it was from the butcher that was the crowned the best butcher in Ireland recently, Kerrigan's in Malahide. And he has three golden rules. Never cook the meat straight from the fridge, but we know that one, because meat needs to come to room temperature. Otherwise, the outside cooks faster and the inside pieces stay cold. So all meat needs to be taken out of the fridge, red meat, before for a while, just to come to room temperature. The next thing was it needs to be cooked both in the pan and in the oven. I would agree with that also. And his third point was you need to allow it to rest after cooking. So he says dry aging is the best kind of meat. He's saying Herefords, Angus and Continental breeds. Let's pick the right meat before you start. If you like a well-done steak, then you need to get a thinner steak. That's very good advice.
Oh, who likes a well-done steak? No.
Some people still do. And he would veer people towards ribeye, which has loads of marbling through it, and that keeps the steak nice and moist. So ribeye is the best if you like a well-done steak. Stay away from the fillet steak, which has no marbling and will get dry and will get tough. So people who like their well-done steaks do not have the fillet steak. He likes to fry the steak to start in a very good cast iron, oven-proof grill pan. It's a really good investment. I would agree with that also. He says the pan needs to be smoking hot, and you put your oil and your seasoning on the steak and put the steak on the hot pan rather than heat the oil in the pan. Would agree with that also. I was always taught to turn the steak down after a minute or two, not keep it high, but he's suggesting keep the pan at a high temperature. And he says 4 minutes, keep turning it over and back and over and back, and then another 4 minutes in the oven, and then let it rest. And this was an interesting one. Let it rest on maybe a rack or the chopping board to let the juices drain off. Do not leave them sitting in the juices, the steak sitting in the juices, because you're going to use them to pour over the steak when you're serving them. And that was a very interesting suggestion. So that's from the butcher, and that's the best butcher in the country. He was giving his tips. So invest in a very good steak pan maybe is the first thing.
Yeah, that sounds delicious to me. So you also always are keeping your eye open for good bargains, good deals, but good competitions as well, Therese.
I saw a competition in the paper at the weekend. It's with the www.independent.ie/PeterMark. If you put in the code SPARKLE into a competition online, you could get a €250 hair voucher from Peter Marks, and that will be a very, very useful gift to get for just making that interaction on the internet for a few minutes.
I get a few nice blow dries out of that now, Therese.
Oh, you get more than a few blow dries, I think, for €250. Hopefully, Wendy. And I just bought it and I thought I'd share it because I thought it was good. I'm going to do it. When I get back to Dublin and get onto the computer, I will do that.
Therese, as always, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning, and we'll keep your dad in the prayers as well. We'll talk
thank
to you again.
Thank you so much.
Discussion once again in relation to what's being called the gender pay gap. Some would say it's set at 14%, that women are basically earning less than 14% less than men. But what actually is the gender pay gap? Are we confusing it with pay inequality? And what is the reason that it exists? Are women being discriminated against, or are women simply choosing not to take certain positions because it's the choice that they want to make? And if we truly want to close it, what should we do about it? Well, on the line to give us her thoughts and indeed share some of her experience, we have journalist Barbara McCarthy. Morning, Barbara. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Well, let's start with that. Just explain to me the difference between the gender pay gap and pay inequality, because I think people get them confused all the time.
Yeah, I mean, gender pay, I suppose, is the median salary that the pay gap is the median salary of men and women put together, not taking into account education, part-time or full-time work, life choices, motherhood. Sorry, there you go. Not taking into account, you know, motherhood, which I was just there, dangerous work, legacy. Whereas unequal pay is where somebody gets paid differently to another person for doing the same job, but that's actually illegal under the Employment Equality Act.
Okay, so basically, what do you feel the reason is for the gender pay gap existing in Ireland? Is it because women are being discriminated against and they're not being given opportunities? Or is it that women are basically choosing either to work part-time, as you say, to work in the home? What's the kind of root cause?
Well, I mean, the thing is, there actually isn't a gender pay gap up until the age of about 30, according to the CSO Labour Market Earnings Division. It's about 0.8%. And then when women are 30 or upwards, there's a gap of 5.8%. So that basically means that when women are starting off in their careers, you know, they're on an equal pairing with men. And then, you know, obviously women make choices, childcare, you know, looking after their children, when they, you know, the education, a lot of courses, like, for example, in the US, the best paid courses is petroleum engineering, but it's 87% men who do
it. Okay, and is that because women just don't want to do that course?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I did construction studies in school and I looked it up there the other day and it's still, I was the only girl doing it, but it's still like, you know, 1 to 10, it's like 6,250 men are doing construction studies and only like 600 women. You know, same goes for mechanical engineering, I think, maths, physics. So those are the kind of areas where later on people might earn more money. Then there's also things like in the Financial Times there, I was reading that there is a gender community gap, gap as well, or commuting gap, sorry, not a community gap, where men are willing to travel further for work. So there's all these variables. It's a very complex, multifactorial phenomenon, and you can't really reduce it to like a single variable. Do you know?
And is that the problem, that we don't want to kind of, I mean, analyze it in terms of, okay, so if one of the reasons there is a gender pay gap is actually women choose to work...
Choice is the number one reason
they work part-time choice. or they... I mean, I myself, I often reflect on many years ago being offered a big PR job. They offered me double the salary that I was on, but I just decided, you know what? I don't want to work 70 hours a week, so I'm not going to take the job.
This is it. We're smarter than that. We don't want to work 80 hours a week. I'm at home with my daughter. I work from home. And it suits me. So I am the kind of gender pay gap, if you will. You know, I had a child and then I, you know, kind of kicked back. Well, not kicked back, but in terms of my career, you know, I'm not working 80 hours a week. I'm not trying to be a partner in a law firm. And not everybody wants that. And I don't understand why there's such a push towards it.
Do you feel that pressure, Barbara? Do you feel that in a way the pendulum has kind of swung in the other direction? You know, I'm glad I don't live in an Ireland where, you know, once you had children, that was kind of just your main value, what you're doing in the home, looking after your kids. But now has it gone to the other extreme where, well, why do you not want to be a partner in a law firm, or why do you not want to be CEO of a company, that it's your only value is seen in the job that you do? You know, there's too much pressure there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel the pressure because I'm kind of at home doing my own thing. But certainly if you're reading like newspapers and, you know, online and whatever else, and then, you know, you have people like Hillary Clinton and Katy Perry going, oh, you know, you need to have a woman, you know, if I want a girl to wake up in the morning and to see that there's a woman president so that she knows she can be anything. You know, I knew that we don't need somebody like that telling us. Do you know what I mean? We're already empowered. I think it's kind of disempowering almost. What's kind of happening now. And it's like buying into victim feminism and grievance feminism as well. Like when you look at Margaret Mitchell O'Connor suggesting that, you know, there's only like female only
professorships. Yeah. What do you feel about that? Do you think that's a good idea? Things like that to try and...
That's discriminatory, I think. And it's kind of offensive to women as well. May the best woman or man win, you know what I mean?
In terms of then trying to actually, if we do want to close the gender pay gap, do you think a lot of the problem nowadays, Barbara, is just the lack of flexibility, for example? I mean, it's great you're chatting to me on the phone now, you're doing some work today, your little girl is there with you, you're kind of able to juggle the two, but not every job kind of offers that flexibility. I mean, you could argue with technology and everything, why not?
Yeah, no, flexibility, I think, is definitely an issue that we need to look into for men and for women. I don't know how many people in Ireland have to kind of travel to work. You know, like when you think of the commute itself that people are making, especially to the centres like Dublin. It could be an hour and a half each way, you know, and you could actually, even for employers, and it's better if people were to just work from home, you know. Flexibility nowadays is like, oh, a duvet day here or there, or, you know, you can go to the dentist tomorrow morning and work an hour later. But there should be a lot more flexibility for people to be able to work from home, because I for me, it's preferable. I mean, not every job can work from home. You know, you can't be a pilot or whatever, but there's a lot of jobs where people are commuting, and I definitely think that if you could actually even just save the commute, because that's just hours wasted in terms of productivity as well. So it's kind of across the board, I think it's a great idea. And for women, it's, you know, obviously because they are still the main kind of child carers, in terms of, you know, dropping the kids to crash and all that, that also, that takes up a lot of time as well. So if you could have like 2 to 3 days a week where you could be at home working, you know, that would work for a lot of people in Ireland. I think companies need to be a lot more flexible when it comes to that.
And do you think then women in that situation, Barbara, where they would just love to be maybe able to work part-time or a bit more flexibility or whatever, do you think that when often women kind of jump up and down about the gender pay gap without actually kind of analysing the reasons behind it, does that actually help women?
No, I don't think so. What do you mean, jumping up and down the pay gap? Oh, coming in and out when they have children and stuff?
Well, just kind of saying this is a huge issue and we need to kind of address it, but they're not actually looking at the reasons why women make the choices that they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like there's kind of, it's just, yeah, they're just going on an assumption and kind of emotions and stuff like that. There's not that, people don't really look at the statistics as much as, and the variables of kind of this. It's very black and white what's kind of been put out there in terms of the gender pay gap. But it's much more complex than that.
So how do we break it down and get the complexity of it across?
I don't know. You need a lot of economists to do that. Now, I know they're introducing a thing in Ireland where companies, like, you have more transparency so you can see what people are getting paid. You know, but it still doesn't take into account experience. And like when I was working in a factory in Germany, I was working at the conveyor belt with the women at the beginning. And you got a certain, like a 13 Deutschmark 50. But then when I went into the foundry, I got 14 marks. But that was because the work was much harder and I was like lifting like 10 tons a day. So that's just one kind of variable that you can just go. And if you just look at it from above, you're like, oh, actually, this, you know, the women are earning less. But firstly, I am a woman and I chose to work somewhere else. You know what I mean? And then I was getting paid more. So to do that with each and every company, I think it's very difficult, you know?
To look at all the different variables. Well,
to look at all the different. And also there's a legacy thing as well. I mean, like when I was growing up, the mother was generally at home and the dad was working. And back then, the dad was earning enough money to pay for a family of four, you know, and everybody had a house. And this is the 80s. We thought the 80s were bad. But, you know, now, like, women are working and stuff. So, like, and everyone's going, oh, it's senior level. It kind of it peters out. Kind of, it's mostly men. But that's because back then women weren't entering the workforce, you know? We're still, like,
kind of playing catch-up in a way.
We're just playing catch-up, you know what I mean? And I think we're doing extremely well. So
indeed
we should give ourselves a break as well.
Yeah, good point. Barbara, you know, thanks so
because
much.
I think... All right.
No, finish your point. Go on.
I think, I think we should actually applaud the work that we've done so far and, you know, just get on with it.
So we should talk about the positives as well and kind of celebrate
There's
all...
so many positives.
Yeah,
you know,
celebrate the different choices, yeah.
I mean, 100 years after the suffragettes and we're doing extremely well, but we can't force ourselves. I mean, women are just pushing and pressuring themselves so much, like, that are trying to work. I mean, trying to work, have a family, have a husband, you know, have all these things going on at the same time. It's really tough, you know?
We're putting the pressure on ourselves, yeah.
Putting so much pressure on ourselves. And I think, like, women, you know, I mean, 63% of women said they'd rather be at home with their kids if possible, you know? So.
But saying that, Barbara, is almost seen as a disservice to the sisterhood. How dare you want to stay with your children?
I like to do both. I mean, I was chatting to a friend the other day. She's like, oh, God, I couldn't imagine being at home with my kids. But I'm just kind of going, like, oh, I couldn't imagine being in the office all day. So, you know, we have the choice now. We've managed to get so far that we have the choice to do what we want. And I think that should be applauded.
And we should celebrate that. Barbara, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today.
Thanks,
and
Amelia.
Your little girl was an angel. Well done to her, too. That was journalist there, Barbara McCarthy, just giving us her thoughts on the gender pay gap. Very interesting indeed. You know, it's easy just to scan the headlines, but then when you actually look into the reasons why, the root causes, and actually understanding what it is, the nuances are many, but very important as well. Just learning about the life of such an incredible woman that I'm sure many of you know of. You might know her name, but I'm sure you'll know the amazing organisations that she has founded. Her name is Mary Redmond Usher, and she founded two national charities in Ireland, and her contributions in those areas really changed the face of both the charitable sector and hospice sectors around the country. She actually herself had a lot of struggles, and one of those was a 6-year journey with breast cancer, and she was really inspired and strengthened, bolstered by her faith, and it's very obvious that she lived out a path of love and compassion, and she wanted to try and tell her story in a book which is called Following the Pink Ribbon Path. And in studio to tell us a little bit about the book, and indeed to tell us a bit about Mary Redmond Usher herself, we have Frank Scott Lennon. Frank, good morning to you.
And good morning to you and your listeners.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Mary Usher.
Mary was an incredible woman in her professional career as an employment lawyer, arguably the best employment lawyer in Ireland. Her social legacy you've referred to with the Wheel and the Hospice Foundation. But she was just an incredibly wholesome person with a deep spirituality that really, really helped her centre herself and centre her illness and her coping with that. She was in every facet of her life an inspiration, and most particularly as her cancer came close to actually taking her to a place we didn't want her to go to.
And how did you know Mary, Frank?
I knew Mary way back when she came back from Cambridge as a young lawyer, and I was a young specialist in the IMI. And we ran several courses jointly together where I would be the course leader, and I would have Mary, among other guests, lecturers, come and speak to a group. I could always say with Mary when I would leave the room, knowing I was coming back in 3 or 4 hours, that I would come back to a group that would be smiling, happy, have learned a lot. And
you always knew they were in good hands, basically.
Always. Every time. She was just a wonderful presenter. She exuded knowledge on so many topics.
In terms of that groundedness that you talk about, because when you hear about Mary's life, whether it's you're looking at the success in her career, even as a standalone, and then looking at what you went on to do from a social perspective in setting up the Wheel and her influence in hospice care as well, and then obviously with her experience with cancer, that's one of those things that for a lot of people it would firmly knock them down from the grounding that they had. What do you think it was that kept Mary going, that kept her strong?
Unquestionably incredible support from her family, and most notably her sister. She had one brother as well, but her sisters were of incredible support to her, as indeed was her husband Patrick and her son Paddy. Beyond them, and perhaps even deeper than them, she had a level of spirituality that allowed her engage a superior being that happened to be the good Lord. She had a deep Christian Catholic faith, and that comes through in several of her works, several of the poems that are in the book. And if I may quote one for you, it really is around acceptance and centering that acceptance. And I'll quote just the first verse. Help me accept my everyday just as it is. The quirky pains and aches all over, tenderness in hands and feet. This, my everyday, I lay before you as it is. Now, I think that's a hugely inspiring piece of poetry. And I also believe it has a universality. It is not just about breast cancer and the journey through breast cancer. It's through other cancers.
Or struggles.
Any struggle in life, you're quite correct, Wendy. And you can substitute the aches and pains all over, etc., with whatever you're going through that day. And centre it in a degree of acceptance that is just incredible for somebody as ill and knowing exactly where she was going, but still capable of that.
You yourself, Frank, went through cancer more than once. Tell us a little bit about that, and does that kind of help you, that reflection help you when you think about your own experience?
Well, I don't really talk about myself too much, but yes, I've had three cancers previously. I'm currently in another one, and have been blessed with the, what most people don't get is an escape route each time. And that has been just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. The effect of this, without sounding too spiritual, I would say I say that prayer and another particular prayer several times daily. It has been just a real support. I don't just say it in relation to my own little piece of cancer or how my family, who are always affected more than the patient, where it's helpful to them as well. But I do it in relation to work things or challenges that I have in everyday life.
As a kind of grounding piece of prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think when people hear your story and hear about Mary Redmond Usher's life as well, they probably wonder, because there's almost two paths that you can go down, and you've made it very clear you felt it's a blessing, you know, every time you've survived cancer. But, you know, equally, you could have gotten very angry. You could have gotten very angry at God. How did you make sure that you stayed in that positive kind of mindset?
Well, the positivity that you describe comes through loud and clear in the book, Following the Pink Ribbon Path. How do I do it? I don't understand it. I really don't. Somewhere in my veins, implanted from a very, very young age, was a degree of positivity that always saw mountains to be climbed, obstacles to be surmounted, it was quite easy to transfer that life philosophy into illness as well. And Mary has a phrase, illness may occur, but doesn't have to get you. Now, I haven't quoted that correctly, but that's
the sentiment. Yeah.
That's the sentiment within it, and I'm blessed to carry that also.
Tell us a bit more about the book then, Frank, Following the Pink Ribbon Path. What is it about, and who do you think will benefit from reading it?
Well, I think initially, firstly, the first part of your question is, what is it about? There are three elements to this book. One, readings that helped Mary during her journey, that from all a variety of spiritual sources. Secondly, some absolutely wonderful pieces of poetry that she wrote about her own illness. And she did it in a manner that wasn't just picking topics from the sky. She did it about simple things, about the little port that's inside your body through which your treatment travels. She did it about the scans that you have to get. And that would resonate to the second part of your question with a variety of people going through a journey, a cancer journey. I personally have bought this book and its precursor and given it to a number of people in that situation, and they have found it extremely beneficial. I think there's a much wider market. I think there's a market for this book in relation to people who want to take another look at life that helps them root some of the trials and tribulations that are referred to in the book as cancer ones, but are much, much wider ones. And I think, therefore, its universality is incredible.
As you said yourself, Frank, just the prayer that you pray, that you use to ground you for lots of different things, whether it's something to do with health, another struggle, work, various stresses and strains. Do you think we kind of can forget to do that in just the hustle and bustle of life, and then the anxiety can kind of take over in a way?
It absolutely does. And despite the fact that one might be calm, and despite the fact that one might place one's trust in the good Lord or whoever. There are still anxieties. There are anxieties for one's family. And I said there were three elements to the book in answering the last question. I never touched the third. And the third is about personal mindfulness and meditation, which are really, really helpful things. And Mary has a lovely section at the back of this book around mindfulness and particularly around Christian meditation.
So it's really using her Christian faith as, and I'm always saying Christian prayer is the original mindfulness in terms of rooting us, getting us to stop, getting us to slow down, getting us to centre ourselves on something greater, on the Lord. You have a contribution in this book yourself, Frank. Tell us about that.
Mary's family, spearheaded by Packy, decided they wanted to continue her legacy and therefore to kind of reissue this following the Pink Ribbon Path. The earlier book was just The Pink Ribbon Path. And part of the vision was that they would also ask a number of people to contribute reflections of how the book might have affected them. And there are many in that. There's one from Mary McAleese, there's from Frank McCourt, and from Patrick, her husband, and a number, and a beautiful, beautiful introduction to the book in the foreword from Packy, that is well worth a read in itself. My own piece, I don't regard it as anything huge. I've actually spoken about it already in saying. The effect that the particular poem, My Everyday, or This My Everyday, had on me. And that's really what I write about in just a short reflection, in which I say that throughout my life, privileged life, I have not known anybody more deeply spiritual than Mary. And that comes across right through the book. And I make the point that, again, I've made to you in my little contribution, that it has a universality that is belied by one just taking the title and thinking it's only about breast cancer.
Yeah,
it's bigger.
And as you say, it's certainly a great book to give anybody who is struggling with an illness, but struggling with anything really by the sounds. But Frank, thank you so much for joining us in studio. I've been chatting to Frank Scott Lennon about a book written by Mary Redmond Usher, a truly extraordinary woman, and it's called Following the Pink Ribbon Path. And you can get it in bookstores nationwide and on columbabooks.com. Frank, thanks for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Pleasure to be here.
It is that time of the month where we get to chat to Dougie Hobson from Footprints Bookshop in Dunleary about some of the latest book releases, DVDs and other fantastic stuff that Dougie has in Footprints, which is in Dunleary in South County Dublin. Do make sure that if you're ever there, it's a beautiful part of the country, by the way, lovely pier to walk on, lovely markets and all that sort of stuff that go on there too. So make sure you pop in and say hello to Dougie. And he's with me in studio now to tell us about the latest releases. Good morning to you, Dougie.
Wendy, good morning to you.
Well, you're practically a saint because it's your day off and you're coming in to chat to me on Spirit Radio, so thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure and a privilege, both.
So lots of great stuff that you have picked out for us today. The first book that you have picked out, a new book, which is called Lifelines, which is about, I love this, I love the subhead for it, Sound Advice from Heroes of the Faith. So yeah. you kind of think, okay, because they're heroes of the faith, will this sound advice be kind of applicable to just everyday people?
And the answer is yes. The answer is it's Andy Croft and Mike Pilavachi. Thank you so much for helping me there.
I don't know if it's right, but I just said it with confidence.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate that. But what they have done is they've taken characters from the Bible, like David, Ruth, Paul, etc., and they've kind of analysed them in the Bible, and to learn from their stories of the Bible how it can affect us today in their, like, their successes and their failures and their struggles, everything that we all go through,
just everyday challenges.
Every day, it will be a book that will come under Christian living. And
they look at things like changing your self-image. I mean, when people think of the Bible, when they think of the apostles, you know, they probably wouldn't think of one of the chapters is the secrets of friendship, for example.
Yes, yeah.
So it's just applying that wisdom.
Yeah, oh no, totally. And you can learn so much from these characters that are in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Like, it's a really good read.
And it's also probably one of those reminders, Dougie, and I was only chatting to Dom, who does a breakfast show, about this yesterday, about how we need to often remind ourselves of, and of course I started off saying, these guys are heroes, how are we meant to live up to that? Actually, most of the apostles were very flawed, normal people.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus didn't pick out the most perfect, you know, best orators, you know, patient. He picked out the most unlikely characters, and they changed the world.
Absolutely.
And we probably forget that too often when it comes to our own personal faith.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. A very interesting thing is they recommend that you have the Bible beside you when you're reading that book. So I found that very interesting, that you can look up, you know, verses of scripture to do with what they're writing about.
Which is great, because this book is there's a lot of kind of self-help books with some kind of dodgy spirituality in it, if you want to call it that. So it's great to have a kind of Christian alternative that's looking at everyday issues that affect us, but by connecting it up to our faith. This book is called Lifelines, and it is available in paperback for €12. The next book, I mean, every time you come in with a book for this woman, I just think, how does she keep knocking these books out of the park? A best-selling New York Times author, Joyce Meyer. Yeah. This book focuses on healing the soul of a woman. So, Dougie, this is really aimed, I suppose, at women who've been basically hurt by different circumstances in life.
And hurt by men. You know, hurt by men. And she's very much coming from her personal experiences, because she was abused by her father for many years. So, and I think this is why she really reaches out and touches women and has such a positive message, because her message is that you can get over this, and Jesus is the answer, and to have Jesus at the center of your life. So it's a very good book, and particularly for women that have struggled and suffered in any way. It's like I said, it's how to overcome your emotional wounds.
And she's really unpacking that and trying to, I mean, even one of the chapters, I've heard this phrase heard before, hurting people hurt people, which can be quite consoling when someone has hurt you, and you kind of stop and say, okay, why is this person hurting me? What is beneath that for them? And it can change your heart to say, okay, I actually also need to pray for this person and the wounds that they have. And that is one of the themes of the book, how to overcome your emotional wounds. And I think what's so great about Joyce, and you touched on it there, Dougie, is that she shares her own experience. So this Joyce, when she's writing about this particular topic, women being healed after being hurt in the past or indeed the present, she's talking about it from a place of personal experience.
Totally.
And I think that it's really great that Christian women like Joyce are so courageous, really, in sharing their stories. And that when we're talking about this type of healing, it's not kind of airy-fairy up in the sky. And that as Christians we think our life is going to be perfect and all rosy. It's that no, when things are really bad, that faith actually helps us through it.
And absolutely.
And I think that's what this book is
totally
for. So that is Joyce Meyer, Healing the Soul of a Woman, and that is available in paperback at €18. Also, Joyce has a fantastic free podcast that you can get through your phone as well if you're interested in learning a little bit more about her. Of course, my favourite now, being a young mummy with a young with a young baby who absolutely loves books. We have the latest children's books now. So we've got 40 Old Testament Bible stories and 40 New Testament. So tell us
now,
about these.
It would be for
a little bit older.
Oh yeah, 8 to 12 year olds.
Okay,
and it has illustrations and all. But it's taking the main stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Andy Robb, he's well known. He's written over 50 children's books and has been very, his books are loved. And I'm very much appreciated. So yeah, it's getting the Bible stories over to this age group, 8 to 12.
Yeah, with really good illustrations, and I feel very strongly about books like this that for us as parents to be able to sit down and talk, and this is how this is set out. There's questions asking your kids to think about what they've read and all that sort of stuff. But I really feel that these books are as much a tool of evangelization for parents as they are for children.
Absolutely.
And actually, probably when it comes to a lot of our faith study, if we can, often if it's written in a way that a kind of 11 or 12 year old can understand, it's probably perfect for most of us, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And we can never stop learning. So they are €7 each, and they are paperback. So great, and a great way to just encourage you to spend time with your kids as well. So we're going to sit down and read this for 10 minutes a day, you know, and chat about it over dinner, read it together with your kids, and you're doing your kind of family Bible study together.
Yeah.
The next book, intriguing, it's called The Friendship Book.
Now, this is a book that comes out every year, and this is for 2019. Lovely illustrations, a thought for each day. And we have folk, our customers, that every year they get the Friendship Book for that particular year. Very popular, and it's just a lovely book. And it's a lovely gift as well.
You know what? I love books that have a thought for the day in them, because sometimes that is all you need, is just to start the day with something positive that'll help, you know. And and obviously a thought for the day can become a prayer as well.
Absolutely,
you know, getting you to really think about it. So that is called The Friendship Book. That is available in hardback, and it's only €10.
Yeah. And then the other one is The Far Side Book, which it's similar, but yet it's done differently, because it kind of covers the seasons of the year with beautiful photographs and illustrations. And now in this book there's poems and all different thoughts, but it's not one for every day, but it's one you can open up at any time.
You can pick it up by the fireside. What a lovely thought.
Totally.
And rather than turning on the TV, you can just pick up one of these lovely reflections, really.
That's
Which is, and there's beautiful, I have to say, illustrations in the book as well. And really, really nice. That one's called The Fireside Book, and that is €10, and that is also hardback. Okay, we're almost giving you permission, Dougie, to say the C word. It's okay when you're talking about Advent calendars, because of course Advent is fast approaching.
Yes.
And I'm delighted to see Advent calendars being used for their proper purpose, because I'm so sick of all these commercial ones stealing the meaning of Christmas. So you've got lots of different options.
We do, yeah. And like, we're really set up now for Christmas, and well worth to visit the shop now to come in. And like, we've Advent candles, Christmas cards, nativity sets, and you know, lots and lots, and lots of gifts.
And lots of them also. One here, for example, is giving some of the funds raised to Compassion, a fantastic charity that is really focused on helping children out of poverty, and all through Jesus' name. It's a very good Christian charity, fantastic. But look, Advent calendars, again, a great way. There's in these types of calendars, it's really giving you the Christmas story each day in words, in pictures, so you can kind of talk about it, chat about it.
Yeah.
Ditch those commercial ones. Don't make every day of Advent about presents and things that we don't want or need. Make it remember Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yeah,
and you have other Christmassy stuff. Lovely, a lovely candle here.
An Advent candle, that just burns each day through the season of Advent. You burn a little bit each day and reflect.
And during that time, reflect, pray. It's a great
pray,
idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, Dougie, as well, you've got a great selection of Christmas cards with a charitable element to them.
That's
too.
Right. So some do, yes, indeed, yeah.
And finally, you've brought me in a small but powerful, I don't know what you would call it,
It's a little wooden cross, and it has a card that goes with it that has a prayer and all. And I just think this cross is just it's a lovely reminder, you know, if you carry it around with you, you know, it's a source of comfort as well. And I brought it along. They're new to us. But I just think the prayer and all is just lovely.
A lovely prayer card with this. I'll just read the first paragraph. Symbol of my faith, referring to the cross, it strengthens me each day as by God's precious grace I walk the narrow way. It's lovely. Our human nature requires us that we need sometimes visual and physical reminders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just thinking of this little cross. Maybe it would be in your pocket, or maybe it's in your wallet. And you are struggling, and you put your hand in your pocket, and you just kind of cluck to it, and it will just remind you of that little prayer. Yes. And of course, you can keep the prayer in your wallet. And if you're having a tough time, or maybe you're going in to give a big presentation or something, stop. You can hold on to it and read this little prayer. Dougie, as always, and that's only €1, by the way. Can I just say, what a lovely little stocking filler to give somebody.
Yes, it is.
And it's also, it's very non-threatening, you know.
Yeah.
And just might be very, very nice to give. They're only €1, so you could get a whole load of them. And just, if you're giving people Christmas presents, I always love giving. So even if they're friends maybe that aren't really, that they mightn't go to church so much, it's who you are. And you can just, you could put something very small like that in with the gift as well. Dougie, as always, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning. And as I said, do make sure to pop into Dougie in Footprints Bookshop in Dunleary. Say hello. Tell him that you heard him on Spirit Radio. It's always great if you can do that. Dougie, thanks a million. We'll chat to you soon.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.